First Thessalonians chapter 1 tonight. Appreciate that special.
Amen.
So thankful for a young man. There's not that many young men would get up and sing for their Lord.
Right.
And look good doing it.
Amen.
And they sounded really good too, didn't they? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. They got a future.
Amen.
First Thessalonians chapter 1. Well, as you know, our theme for this year is the body of Christ and members in particular. We haven't been working so much on church doctrine as we have been functioning as a church body, what it means to be a body of Christ, what it means to be a church, what it means to be a church member. And we started in 1 Thessalonians a couple of weeks ago, and we saw primarily just verse 1. We're going to kind of finish up Paul's, or delve a little bit deeper, really, I guess, into Paul's introduction. We still won't get very far tonight. Simple message tonight, nothing deep or complicated whatsoever. I'm afraid to say we probably won't be very long because you all end up listening slow and then we are longer than I thought we were going to be. All right? But look, if you would, in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that salutation, grace and peace, basically means prosperity and favor. He says he wants God's blessing on them, prosperity and favor. Not prosperity necessarily material things, but to just be prosperous and to know God's favor. Then it goes on in verse 2, and we kind of get the explanation for his desire when he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." We probably won't get to the last part of that. Primarily, we're going to deal with verses 2 through 4 maybe tonight and see a few things. Again, nothing deep and simple, but I want to talk a little bit about tonight about how we ought to love one another and care for one another. So let's go ahead and ask God's help as we do that this evening. All right? Brother Mason, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the time we've already spent in your house, for the songs and the special and all those things. But I pray now that you'd help us to turn our attention to your word, and that we thank you for our pastor, and that we might get some application that you have for us tonight. Let me thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. I didn't ask him if I could mention this. It's public knowledge, so I don't think it will, but I was thinking about this passage, especially verse 2 and 3, in particular where we're going to spend most of our time tonight. And I was thinking about Butch as he gave his testimony Wednesday night about how I wasn't in here. I usually slip down on Wednesday night, kind of say hi to the Master Club kids, but I could hear it. And he was talking Wednesday night about how special our church was to him and how he felt at home here. And I certainly appreciated that. Amen. It was a blessing to me to hear that and what God has done with him or through him or for him and how the Lord used our church to be able to do that. And it was kind of a blessing because I was thinking about this passage tonight. And it was a blessing to know that. And as I thought about that this week and as I was thinking about that and some other things, and it's nothing that I haven't said before, and that is a church is a family. I mean, we are a family. And when you're in a family, and I think all of us have families, if I'm not mistaken. All right, so if you're in a family, a physical family, I know that you all love and adore each other constantly all the time. All right? Brothers and sisters. And of course, when you're in a family, we love each other. I'm talking about our physical families. When we're in our physical families, we love one another. But the thing about a family is you're around each other all the time. And when you're around each other all the time, you know, you learn every quirk and every flaw and every personality trait. I'm talking about theirs, not yours. You learn every quirk and flaw and personality trait, and you get used to one another all the time. And I say that because I was thinking about this as I listened Wednesday night to that. I thought to myself, you know, sometimes it takes someone coming in from the outside and coming in to kind of remind you of what you have and how special things are. Because you get used to each other and you get used to things. And sometimes you forget just how special a body of Christ can be and how special our body of Christ can be. And so sometimes you need someone kind of coming in from the outside with a fresh perspective to remind you of what that is, to remind you of how thankful we should be and how much it ought to mean to us. Our church means a lot to me, and it ought to mean a lot to us, and how much we should mean to each other as well. Not just the church as a whole, but how much we should mean to each other. And it kind of reminded me of that as I was thinking about these two verses already, because we can get calloused. We can get calloused or so focused on other things that we forget about how special others are to us and how special others are in our life. And I find myself thinking about that more and more, about how special people are to me and how special people in our church are to me and how special our church is to me. I was talking to a preacher this week, and we were talking about I probably shouldn't even share this, but I'm committed now, so I'll go ahead and share it. But he and I were talking, he's about the same age I am, and we were talking about the ministry, and we were talking about, like preachers do, all the challenges of the ministry today. Of course, it's always harder than it ever used to be, and so on. So we were talking about all those things, and dealing with stuff, and dealing with people, and dealing with issues, and so we were talking about that, and I don't remember which one of us brought it up, but we were both in agreement over it, that one of the things that's a little more challenged today, because I'm finding, for me anyway, as I get older in the ministry, I find myself being more compassionate than I've ever been. That wasn't that I wasn't compassionate before, but I find myself being more compassionate than I ever used to be. And I don't know if I'll ever be a crier, but I am finding myself to be more compassionate, though I have found myself getting dangerously close a time or two, nearly scared myself to death that I've gotten a little bit closer to that. And to be honest with you, I was sitting there watching those young men sing, and if I'd have thought of it very much, I might have cried then, because I was thinking about how good they sound, and most of these guys were saved here or grew up here in the church, and to see what God's done in their life, just as he has done in a lot of the young ladies in our church, and to see some of them get married. I was thinking when Caroline got married yesterday, she was 3, I think, when we got here, and I was trying to remember 3-year-old Caroline running around terrorizing the church, but I was having trouble remembering that. And I find myself, I guess it's the product of getting older, I find myself thinking about that kind of stuff more. And I find myself in the ministry thinking more and more about how things impact people, you know, and how we deal with things and how they impact people, and what people are dealing with in their life and what they're going through, and how all of this, you know, influences people, because everything we do influences people and deals with people. And so, when I was younger in the ministry, you don't think about that as much, but as you get older in the ministry, at least I find myself doing that. And so there you have it. There you go. So if I break out bawling one of these days, you'll know what happened. You'll think he's gotten so old he started crying all the time. But I do find myself thinking more and more again about how much we should mean to each other and about things we're going to see tonight. And so since I've been thinking about it, you know what that means? We all get to think about it, all right? So look, if you would, in verse 2. Just some simple, simple thoughts tonight here in verse 2 out of this introduction that Paul gives to the church at Thessalonica. Remember we said this is the model church? Now, they were not a perfect church. So when we talk about these things tonight, I want you to keep in mind this evening that this was not a perfect group of people who never had problems, never had difficulties. Paul later on, near the end of the book, is going to address some things. He reminds them some things about separation and needs concerning holiness and worldliness. He's going to remind them of some of those things. So they were not a perfect church. They were saved people, just like us, with flaws and quirks and personality disorders, I don't know, and who had problems. And so they weren't a perfect church. So when we think about these things, you know, don't get in your mind. Look, I tell people in the Bible studies all the time, when we use that verse, and it's left me now, where Paul talks about that love covers, charity covers a multitude of sins. And I tell folks all the time, I said, you know, when you come into a church, that verse is valuable, because charity is sacrificial love, and it covers a multitude of sins. And you may have heard me say before that sometimes people come into a church with unrealistic expectations. They come into a church thinking, I'll never have my feelings hurt, no one will ever offend me, I'll never get angry at anybody, everyone will always be, this is going to be like the millennial kingdom right here in Knob Noster. It's come to Knob Noster. The millennial kingdom has arrived. And that's not true. Because we're a bunch of sinners saved by grace. That's what we are. And we all have bad days. Amen. The boss makes us mad. We're sick. We don't feel good. We get short sometimes with each other. It happens, doesn't it? And so you know how to get over that? Well, Paul gives us the key. Charity, sacrificial love, covers a multitude of sins. It's love for one another and care for one another. The church, it causes me to say, you know what? I can get over that. It's really not that big a deal. I don't know what they went through today. I don't know what she had to deal with today. I don't know how crazy the kids drove her today. I don't know what's going on there. But you know what? I'm just going to forgive them, love them, and go on. And Paul says that's the key, this idea of surviving in church. So we're going to kind of see some of that tonight again as we just look at a few simple things. Y'all with me? All right. Notice, if you will, first of all, in verse 2, from my understanding here from what Paul says, we ought to be a thankful church. Yes. And so he says this in verse 2. He says, we give thanks always to God for you all. I think we ought to be a thankful church. Now, in the context, we here refers back to verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. He's talking about how thankful the three of them were for the church at Thessalonica. And, of course, I think we can certainly infer from that we ought to be a thankful people. If they were thankful for the church at Thessalonica, I'm pretty confident the church at Thessalonica should have inferred from that they ought to be thankful. I think we as Calvary Baptist Church can take from that we ought to be a thankful church. I think we should be. Their prayer for the people of the church revolved around how thankful they were for each and every one of them. He says how thankful we are always for you all. Now, when he says, or this phrase, always for you all, I think we understand tonight that doesn't mean that he did nothing else in his life but pray in thanksgiving for these people. Doesn't mean always praying. The word always is also translated in our King James Bible on occasions or on all occasions or at times. What that simply means is that, in other words, at all times or occasions that God brought them to mind, he was thankful for them. Whenever God brought, when he says all of them, I don't think he's talking just about the church at Thessalonica as a whole, but I think he's talking about individuals within the church. And he says, as God brought these people to mind, he said, I was thankful. I prayed because I was thankful for this person or for this brother or for this sister or for this group in the church. And I was thankful for them as I God brought. He didn't sit around doing nothing but always praying for them. But he said, you know, whenever God brought one of them to mind, he said, I always ensured that I prayed for them. Look over in Philippians chapter 1. It's kind of the same thing he says over in Philippians chapter 1. At all times or on all occasions that you come to mind, Paul says, I hold you up in prayer. Again, kind of the same thing he says in Philippians chapter 1. Look in verse 3 where he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And that's the same idea as what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. On all occasions, whenever they come to mind, he says, I'm thankful for you and I pray for you. I do this at times for some of you, and I'm sure you do the same thing. Come on, you never have God just bring somebody in the church to mind and you pray for them. Amen. And we offer up thanks and prayer for them. God brings someone in our church to mind from time to time, and I think of how thankful I am for them. Or I think of some need they're wrestling with. Or I think of how they're dealing with something in their life that maybe no one else in the church knows about, but I know about it. And so I pray for them. You know, sometimes as I think about people, and I mentioned this the other day in a message I came pulled up here a little while back, and there were people everywhere. I thought, I need to study. Who are all these people running around the building? But there were people mowing. There were people coming back from visitation. There were people inside the building cleaning. And there was all this activity and people going around working and doing things. And I thought to myself, man, how thankful I am for our people and for our church and what a blessing they are to us. Sometimes I think of a note that somebody gave me. Come on, you ever have anybody give you a note? A good note. That somebody gave you. I think of a note that somebody gave me or something someone said, you know, just a word of encouragement. And I think, man, that's such a blessing. And I'm just so thankful for that. Or I see them. Sometimes I just see people come into the building. Now, I may not run up and embrace you in a bear hug, but I'm thankful you're here. And I see you come in, and I see people come in from sometime. And sometimes, you know, it's the same people you see all the time. But sometimes God just kind of speaks to your heart about this person. And you just think, man, I'm so thankful for brother so-and-so or sisters. Come on, you ever do that? I'm just so thankful for them as I see them come in. Or I'll see them during a song service, somebody in the choir. There's times when I'm sitting here and I look at the choir and I remember when that person got saved, or I remember something that person did, or I remember how God's worked in that person's life, and or how serious that person is about serving the Lord. And I think, man, just so thankful for people in our church and for those who are here. Sometimes, a lot of times when someone's singing a special, if you want me to think about you, sing a special. Because a lot of times, and most of the time, I'm not thinking, boy, I wish they hadn't sung a special. That's not what I'm thinking. But as they're singing a special, I think to myself almost every time, I think, I remember when they got saved. Or I remember when they got here. And I think about how they've grown and where they've come from. And God gets the glory for that.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that and how God works in people's lives. And like I said, when I watch them sing a special, or I watch these young men sing, or the beginners choir, or the future leaders singing, or our choir. And I think about it, I'm just so thankful. And I'm certainly thankful to them, always. I'm thankful for that which they've done for me. I'm thankful for the note of their encouraging word, or their faithfulness, or service. I'm thankful for what they do to them, or I'm thankful to them, I guess I should say, for what they do. But we'll notice what Paul says. Paul said we also need to strive to be thankful for them. Because he says, we thank God always for you all. He says, I'm thankful to God. And I'm just not thankful for the person and how they impact me or how they impact the church. But Paul says, I'm thankful to God for them. Now listen, we understand tonight that any good thing within us as saved people is the result of the work of God in our life.
Right.
The only reason we can tolerate you is because you got saved. Amen. And it's the work of God in you that makes you a blessing, or makes me, or makes any of us a blessing. It's what God has done in us. So while I'm thankful for the person or to the person, I'm also thankful to God for bringing them our way and for saving them and for what an important part they've become of our church. And so each of us is the product of the work of God. Each of us are the product of conversion and regeneration. We're each the product of new birth. And many of the things that we owe thanks to one another for are only there because of what God has done in us. And so Paul says, I'm so thankful to God. When was the last time you looked around the church and saw someone and just thought to yourself, I'm so thankful to God for them. I'm so thankful for what God has done in their life, how God saved them and brought them our way. And what a blessing, listen, what a blessing they have been in my life because of what God did in their life. We should always be thankful for one another, but ensure that we're also thankful to God for one another, as He's the one who made us who we are. And we ought to be thankful for that. As I said tonight, I was thinking as those young men were singing, especially today. I'm so thankful what God has done in their life, that they're willing to get up and sing for their Savior in a time when most young men would not do that. I can remember when there were many here tonight. Let me ask you, how many of you here tonight, this is not to boast on ourselves, and there's a lot of people not here tonight, but how many of you got saved here at Calvary, either in a Bible study or in service? How many of you? That's a big bulk of the crowd got saved here. And I would say some of you are different than when you got here, even if you were saved when you got here. And there's quite a number of the ones who are not here tonight who were saved here. And so that's a blessing when you think about all those who were saved here. And as I think about that, I can remember when many who are here tonight got saved, and I can remember when many got here and how far they've come and what a blessing they've become. And we ought to be thankful to God for our folks, for everyone. Come on, we just ought to be thankful to God for each other. And then secondly, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be a thankful church. But then secondly, we ought to be a praying church. He says in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Making mention of you in our prayers. We ought to be a praying church in a general sense. And we understand that. This ought to be a house of prayer. We ought to be a praying church in the sense that we pray for things and pray for each other. We understand that. But we also ought to be a church that prays for one another, which is how Paul uses it here. He says he was praying for each of them. And we ought to be a praying church and praying for one another. He noticed what he says in verse 2, making mention of you. That word mention comes from the same exact Greek word as remembering in verse 3. See in verse 3 where he says remembering? They mean the same thing, the exact same Greek word. Like before, it means this. It means when each of us has someone come to our mind or come to mind in the church, or Paul said this, when each of them came to his mind, to his remembrance, he always made sure to mention them in prayer to God whenever they came to mind. Paul says there's times when Paul was out on his travels or wherever he was that God brought someone in the church of Thessalonica to mind. And Paul says, I never failed when God did that to make mention of you in prayer. So listen, we ought to be thankful for one another. Say amen.
Amen.
And we ought to be in prayer for one another. I think those two things go together. I think the more thankful we are for one another, the more apt we will be to pray for one another when God brings one or the other to mind. And so Paul says we ought to be a praying church. This would help deal with a lot of things. You know, when one of us comes to our minds, we ought to remember them in our prayers, mention them to the Lord. I think this will go a long way toward preventing the devil from getting an advantage over us. You know, if every time someone came to mind, it's hard to pray for someone on a regular basis, thank God for them and hold them up before the Lord and be bitter against them all at the same time. So the more we pray for one another, the more we uphold one another in prayer, the more thankful we are for one another. Listen, I'm a lot less, I love my wife.
Amen.
That was for her, not for you. I love my wife. And I know you find this hard to believe, but she gets on my nerves every now and then. I'm just teasing. Well, more or less teasing. Just very few times. But you know what? I love her. And so I put up. I deal with it. And the same thing's true with us.
Right.
As church people. Listen, the more thankful we are for one another, and the more we hold each other up in prayer, it's a whole lot easier to keep the devil from getting an advantage over us. Don't you think?
Amen.
Driving a wedge in us. Or
right.
Between each other or between our church. And Paul says we ought to remember that. So it's good for that. It helps keep us from getting bitter or angry or our feelings hurt. If we love each other and we pray for each other, sometimes we just need to let it go. And you can do that when you love each other. But beyond that, it's a great blessing. Come on, it's a tremendous blessing that we pray for one another when God brings someone to mind. That's a great blessing. The other day, and I'm not going to share too much of this, but the other day, I don't want to sound like I'm whining, but I had my plate kind of full here the other day with something, and it was kind of a frustrating situation, and I was dealing with that. I was having a moment. You probably never have a moment. You probably never think I have one, but I was having a moment. And as I was thinking about all that, I'm just being honest with you, and I have a friend in the ministry, and I don't know why we haven't, but we haven't spoken in about 6 months. We're not mad at each other. We've just been busy and haven't spoken to each other. So I got all this stuff going on, and I'm driving in my car and kind of frustrated about some things. And all of a sudden, my phone goes ding, and I look at it, and it's him. I haven't spoken to him in 6 months, and here's what he said. He said, "The Lord just brought you to my mind." He said, "And I felt like you needed prayer, so I prayed for you." Had no clue what was going on. God's good, isn't he?
Right. Amen.
Absolutely, God's good. God knows what's going on and what's going on in our life. And he does the same thing to us. Listen, there are times here in the week, and every now and then I'll text somebody in the church and say, "Hey, God just brought you to mind. I prayed for you." And they'll text back, "Boy, I really needed it right now. You have no idea how much I needed it." And God knows. And we ought to pray for each other and hold each other up in prayer. When God brings one of us to mind, we ought to just take a moment and pray. Because we ought to be thankful for one another. You know, when he texted me and said, "Lord just brought you to mind, I just wanted you to know that I prayed for you." You know what? That did absolutely nothing for my problem. Nothing. Didn't fix it, didn't help with it, didn't do anything for it. But it helped me.
Right.
It helped me. And so when Lord brings someone in mind to our church, what I think, man, I'm so thankful for Brother Sam. I'm so thankful for Brother Daniel. I'm so thankful for whoever. I'm so thankful for that sister. I'm so thankful for them. And God's brought them to mind. I should take a moment and mention them in prayer.
Right.
You never know what somebody's going through. And it won't fix their problem, but it might help them.
Right.
And so Paul says we ought to be a praying church, a thankful church. And he says we ought to be a praying church. Again, don't you think the second part of that verse affects the first part affects the second? The more we work to remind ourselves of how thankful we are for one another, the more apt we are to pray for one another. Come on, we tend to pray for the people we love the most and we care about the most. And then thirdly, we're moving right along. We might get done early. Thirdly, told you nothing deep tonight, just reminding us a few things. Then thirdly, we ought to be a remembering church. We ought to be a thankful church. We ought to be a praying church. And then we ought to be a remembering church. Look what he says in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all. That's that praying church, making mention of you. That's that, or thankful church, that's that praying church. And then he says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing. We ought to be a remembering church. We ought to have a long memory and be a remembering church. You know, I'm sometimes taken, and this has nothing to do with anything that's happened, but I'm sometimes taken many times about how forgetful church people can be and how forgetful we can be. We can be, you know, we can be so thankful for someone, and then some little thing happens, is done or perceived or felt, and we forget how thankful we were a few moments earlier. We ought to be thankful and thankful for one another. We ought to be a thankful church. We forget sometimes that we've been praying for them, and we loved them yesterday, and we were thankful for them yesterday. Just because somebody said some little something or didn't shake my hand, we should still be a thankful church. And sometimes we can be forgetful people. How easy we can forget. Paul said concerning those in Thessalonica that he remembered them without ceasing. That's what he says. Now, that doesn't mean that all he did was sit around doing his best to remember them. It wasn't what he was saying. The phrase, in essence, means this. In essence, the best way to describe the word is it means remembering without coming to an end. In other words, he said when he thought about it, and when he thought about them, there was a chain of things that he could remember about them that made him thankful. So it doesn't mean that he sat around all the time thinking, I am just so thankful. All I can think about in my entire life is how thankful I am for Timothy. That's all I can think about. No, he says, as I thought about them, he said, there's a whole chain of things for which I'm thankful for them. There's this and I'm thankful for, and there's this that I'm thankful for, and there's this that I'm thankful for. And Paul says, as I thought about that, I just thought of how thankful I was concerning all these things. Now, we see at least part of this chain of things that he was thankful to God for when it came to them in our text. Notice what it says. First of all, you all still with me?
Amen.
First of all, in verse 3, he says that he was thankful for their work of faith. He says, when I think about some of those folks in the church of Thessalonica, all of them, he said, I'm thankful for the work of faith. This is one of those links in that chain that he was thankful for. Thankful for their work of faith. This would be the same thing as saying this. I'm thankful for their working faith. I'm thankful for the fact that it's not just words, but I'm thankful for what faith has produced and how that's impacted Paul and how Paul's experienced and how that's impacted the church. It says, I'm thankful that they have a working faith. The first of those works of their faith, I think, would be repentance, which he mentions in verse 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He says, I'm thankful for the work of faith that brought repentance and salvation into your life. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm thankful for the change God has made in you, and how you allowed your faith to work to bring about repentance and the changed life. He says, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. And I think he must have thought often of them. And he must have thought often of their salvation and the difference that it made in their lives. And as I said, I remember when many who are here tonight got saved, and many of you remember when others got saved in our church. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm thankful for the day everybody gets saved. And the potential that brings to the forefront, and the opportunity that brings to the forefront, and the difference it can make in their life now that they've gotten saved. And it's just fun to see people get saved and realize what God can do in their life. But beyond that, it says he was always reminded of how they served the Lord in the church, of how their faith was not in word only, but it produced that which helped the church and helped one another and helped each other. They had a working faith. He says, I'm so thankful, Paul says, I'm so thankful as I remember. And as I think about this person or that person and the chain of examples of their faith that he saw. About how this person is involved in this, and this person did this, and this person was laboring here, and this person helped that person, and how this person was a blessing. And the work of faith that he saw. He says, I'm so thankful for how each of them were laboring away and working in this area of faith. Does this make sense? He says, I can remember those times when people volunteered to take care of something or volunteered to work on something or did or just showed up and did it. And you see that demonstration of faith. He says, I'm so thankful for that. You know, one of my favorite times, though it runs me ragged, is when we have work day. Last work day, I had my watch on, I checked my steps. I walked 6 miles the last work day we had. The time we go home, I'm done. After work day, I'm not griping, I'm just running around because, you know, everybody needs something, so we're around and doing it. But I'm so thankful for those days because it's such a blessing to see everybody working and to see everybody involved. And it's a work of faith. And we ought to be thankful for that. You know, or when we, as I said a minute ago, when I pull up and see someone working, I was thinking the other day, we're around a visitation, I was headed down the street, and I could see some of those Calvaryites coming the other way, spreading their propaganda, coming the other way. I could see them coming toward me, and I thought, what a blessing it is to see people out putting out tracts and put flowers on the door because they love the Lord. They're sure not doing it because it's their thing. They're out there doing it because they love the Lord, and that's a blessing. That's a work of faith. And Paul says we should remember that every now and then. And there's people in this church that's helped you, most likely, if you've been around here any length of time, that has helped you at some point. Say amen. Amen. That's a work of faith. They were there for you and helped you. And we ought to remember those times. Come on, we ought never, because the moment we forget those things, the devil will get an advantage on us. We ought never forget those things. But then he says, secondly, he not only remembered their work of faith, but then he also remembered their labor of love. He says in verse 3, their work of faith and labor of love. Look what he says over in chapter 2. I think it's chapter 2. Verse 9. Yep, labor, verse 2 and verse 9. You get an idea of what it means in chapter 2, verse 9. When he says, for ye remember, brethren, speaking of himself now, our labor and travail for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preach the gospel unto you. You get the idea of what labor means. Labor is love that is self-denying love. A labor of love is self-denying love. In other words, it's when someone loves someone enough that they're willing to help them and labor for them, even if it costs them. I've had people in this church, help me and be there for me concerning something when I know they really didn't have time. When I know they had plenty of their own stuff to do. When they had their own project or their own thing that they had to get done, but they set that aside and helped me. And I would suspect that most of you could say the same thing. Amen. There are people in this church that they had their plate completely full, but they pushed it aside and helped you. Amen. That's a labor of love. Or they had their plate full, but something that needed to be done at the church. And so they were here when they could have been at home taking care of other stuff. Come on, I'm just saying tonight, as Paul says, we should remember those things.
Right.
Because it's those things that help make a church special. And it's those things that help draw us together.
Amen.
The things we remember.
Amen.
And how easy we can forget them.
Yes.
If we're not careful. Paul says, I remember that labor of love. They sacrificed their time and need and to help my need when they had plenty of their own. Again, I suspect most of you have had the same experience, and you may have been the one sacrificing for someone else. We do it first because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. I hate to break the news to you, but I did it first because I love the Lord. But then we do it practically because we love one another. Because the truth is, we won't really love one another or be willing to sacrifice for one another unless we love the Lord first. Because he is the one who makes us tenderhearted and willing to help each other. He's the one who does that. And there are times as a part of a body of Christ that we're to strive. These are times that we're to strive to remember. You know what I should strive to remember? I should strive to remember the time brother so-and-so gave up his time to come over and help me. I should strive to remember the time that so-and-so had so much going on, but this needed to be done at the church, and they did it.
Amen.
Those are the things I should strive to remember.
Right.
Not what someone said to me.
Yeah.
Not how someone hurt my feelings. Not how someone didn't smile at me today. Not how someone must be mad at me, because I could just tell what they were thinking. That's not what we should be remembering. We should strive to remember what a blessing these people have been to me. We should strive to remember their labor of love, their sacrifice of faith. Those are the things we should strive to remember, don't you think?
Right.
Anybody can remember getting their feelings hurt. I don't even need help with that. But we should strive to remember the times when someone here gave of themselves to help us. Come on, you with me?
Amen.
We should remember those times. And then thirdly, I told you nothing deep. Paul mentioned, thirdly, remembering their work of faith and their labor of love. And then he thought often of their patience of hope. Their patience of hope. He says in chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God the Father. This was a model church, but it was a church that was experiencing heavy persecution. It was one of the more heavily persecuted churches in the New Testament. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, when you think about it, that one of the most heavily persecuted churches produced the model church. Where churches like Corinth, who were the less persecuted and most financially, materially blessed, are known as the most corrupt church. But it was the one that was under most persecution that was the model church. You know, we oftentimes think of what's going on today and we think, you know, boy, this is the judgment of God on our society. It might be the judgment of God on his churches. Because it might be that we're preparing for a purifying. God might be preparing to make some model churches because of the time that we're in. And as a model church, they endured a lot of things. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Because of their persecution and the way they dealt with it, they became examples of all these things. And yet when Paul remembered how they never gave up, how they never quit on God, or how the church never quit on God, but how they persevered through those trials, Paul says, what a blessing that was to me. That they never quit, that they never gave up, though they dealt with all of these things. And Paul says this ought to be a blessing to us, a help to us. This may not be for you at all. Maybe it's all for me, but it ought to be a blessing. You know, I'm thankful for people in our church over the last 21, 22 years I've been here that I've seen go through so many things, that I've seen endure some terrible things and some heartbreaking things. Everything from sickness to financial problems to job trials and struggles, yet they're still serving God.
Amen.
And they're still persevering and still moving on. I talked about Timothy a minute ago. Man, what a thing the Frenches went through and Timothy went through. But they're still here serving.
Amen.
Burrs, the things that they've gone through. And I don't want to mention too many people. I don't want to just point people out. I was thinking about Brother Chad and what he's dealt with, you know, and I could go on. There's stuff here that's too personal to talk about that people have gone through. But you know what? They're still serving.
Right.
They haven't quit. Brother Tim's been going through some things. Miss Leslie. People think things are going, but they're still serving the Lord. You know what? That's a blessing to me.
Amen.
It's an encouragement to me. Come on, isn't it to you? That people can go through such things and still keep serving the Lord and persevering and continuing to love the Lord and serve the Lord and serve. And I'm just so thankful for them because their patience of hope, as he says, through the Lord Jesus Christ is an encouragement to me. Because if they can patiently keep going, if they can patiently endure those things and serve Christ and live for him, it is encouragement to me that, you know what, maybe I can do the same thing. Maybe my stuff's not so horrible. Come on, amen.
Amen.
Brother Hubbard, the things that they've been through, Miss Joe, and we could go on and on, couldn't we? Of the things that people have endured, and they're still serving the Lord. And that's a blessing. Notice what he says. He says they patiently keep going. And the reason they patiently keep going is because of this hope that they have. I have no doubt that part of that hope is in verse 10. It says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. It's the hope that we have in Christ that people are able to persevere and keep going and keep moving forward. It's, you know what, when I see what some people go through and continue to serve the Lord, it makes me think that, you know, maybe my hurt feelings aren't that big a deal. You know, maybe this little thing I'm dealing with, maybe my busyness, maybe this stuff's not that big a deal. If they can continue to serve the Lord dealing with all of that, maybe I can do the same thing. Amen. Come on, it's encouragement to me. I don't wish it on anyone. But when I see people deal with it and see the faith and the hope with which they deal with it, what a blessing that is. Why would I ever want to give that up? And it'll draw us closer as we pray. Become a part of it as we pray with them and pray about it. If they can endure what some here have gone through, I think I can endure some of the petty things that I have to deal with in my life. And then lastly, and we're done. Lastly, Paul said that he was thankful to God for them because he had observed them and had no doubt about the sincerity of their salvation and their relationship with Christ. And we'll get into this in more detail next time. But it says in verse 4, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in such assurance, in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were for your sakes, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy in the Holy Ghost." Paul says this, I think this is the root of all of it, the foundation of all of it. Paul says, I'm so thankful for you because I'm so thankful for them because they have demonstrated, I have seen, I understood the sincerity of their faith. In other words, Paul says this, as much as I can know about another person, I'm so thankful that I know that you're a child of God and you're saved. That ought to be the biggest blessing of all. Yes. To hang out with people that we can say, you know what, I can't see anybody's heart, but I know Brother Hubbard's a child of God, or Brother Sam, or Sister so-and-so. And it's just a blessing to be around people who love the Lord and who I know are saved. Their election, their salvation. We'll talk more about those verses next time, but their election is sure. Listen tonight. It's easy to become used to each other. It's easy as a family to see each other's flaws and hiccups and problems, other people's issues, because you don't have any, but other people's issues. It's easy to see those things and forget how blessed you are. And so because of that, we ought to follow Paul's example, where Paul says we ought to be a thankful church in verse 2. We ought to be a praying church in verse 2. We ought to be a remembering church as we think about people's work of faith and how they've been a blessing to us, and their labor of love and how people around us have sacrificed for us at times, given of themselves. We ought to be thankful for those, or remember the patience of some as they've endured so much and what an encouragement they are to us, that they continue to serve even though they're going through all these things. And what a blessing that is to us. And Paul says we ought to be thankful that we're around people who we believe are absolutely a child of God because it's been demonstrated in our life. Nothing deep about any of that, is there? Well, you won't hurt my feelings. Nothing deep about that at all. Wasn't trying to be deep, so it won't hurt my feelings. Nothing deep about it, but it's something that we ought to remember. Because when we forget those things, that's when the devil gets an advantage over us. That's when we get our feelings hurt, or we get angry, or someone doesn't look at us right, or somebody didn't shake our hand today, and somebody had a bad day. It's amazing. Listen, we don't ever want to be a forgetful people. We want to be a remembering people. We're not a perfect church, but that's okay because there aren't any. So that puts us in the majority. But we ought to be a thankful church and a remembering church and a praying church and a church that values the patience of others and serve Him. Man, we ought to thank God for our church. Amen. With all our flaws, with all the stuff that's wrong with you, we ought to thank God. If it weren't for the fact we have a perfect pastor, I don't know what we would do. But we ought to thank God for our church and that we have survived in spite of our pastor. We ought to be thankful for those things. Amen. And remember just how blessed we are. Shouldn't just be people coming in from the outside that know that. We ought to know it. Because the moment we forget that is when the devil will get an advantage over you. Why don't you stand with me if you would.